Hey everyone, welcome to the Health with Purpose podcast. My name is Sume, and today on the podcast, I have a special guest. His name is Kyron Yang. He's based in Malaysia at the moment, stuck in lockdown, and he is someone who has become a creative empowerment coach, a professional evolutionary astrologer, a dynamic movement practitioner, and the podcast host of the Emerald Forest Experience podcast. He is passionate about discovering the human potential, and he's on a quest to discover what it means to live a quality, wholesome, and fulfilling human life. So let's welcome Kyron Yang onto the podcast. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Sumi. Doing really well. How are you?
I am very well. So Kyron is someone who has a very incredibly calming voice. So if you go onto his podcast, he runs these meditation sessions, these short podcast meditation sessions, and it is incredibly calming and soothing. So go check it out.
So don't fall asleep.
I tried listening to it once when I was driving. It was a little bit dangerous. You know, I was like, okay, I probably shouldn't be doing this. Need to change up the podcast here because I was trying to drive at the same time. Okay, so what we want to start off first is, Kyron, would you mind just sharing with us a little bit about your story and what led you to become a creative empowerment coach?
Sure. Yeah, creative empowerment coach to me, it's a long trip, you know. It started off when I was a kid, you know, living life, being very passionate about whatever I do. And there's something that I could say about myself is that sometimes I can be so into something that I forget the world around me. So I had always been very passionate about everything that I do. And something that really challenged me in that process is having a really difficult health experience. I have an autoimmune disease and I have chronic dermatitis ever since I was 7. And then I was put on medication, really, really strong medication like steroids and antihistamines and things like that at a very young age. And that led me into this search for an answer for my health. So yeah, humble beginnings, lots of struggles and lots of things that a child or a teenager wouldn't normally experience.
Yeah, I can't imagine that must have been really difficult. And from what I understand about autoimmune conditions, it is something that you manage lifelong. And so do you mind just opening up a little bit more about your journey of, you know, going from, you know, 7 years old, how that felt actually when you were 7 being diagnosed and being told that you had this autoimmune skin condition? What was going through your mind, and like, how did you feel when you were on all these really strong medications?
So yeah, I think it was around 8 or 10 years old. I can't remember which age, but this doctor told me, you will be relying on medications your whole life, your entire life. So he said, just get on with it. And he is a dermatologist, a skin specialist. Yeah. And that to me is pretty traumatic as a kid listening to like, what is this? I have to rely on medication my whole life. So yeah, it's true that I have to manage. You know, autoimmune disease is this thing like when your cup is full and then when it's just overflowing, the symptoms just start to show up and, you know, and takes you away from enjoying the life that you seek to enjoy. And like I said, I'm a passionate creative person and I love doing creative things and I love being active. And that was one thing that had been the biggest challenge, because when I have a skin condition, I was told that I cannot go out to the sun because the sun can damage the skin, the UV is too strong. And when I was very young, I loved playing football, soccer for you guys. And And the thing is that I was stopped and restricted by my parents, thinking that that is what's causing, you know, my skin to flare up again and again. And as a kid, I didn't really watch my diet. You know, I've been eating a lot of processed food, things like that. And we have no idea how these things impacted my life. And then as I grew up, I found that, you know, medications didn't help my life anymore. Like steroids is just a temporary fix. And it's not just temporary fix. The next time, it's like when I apply steroid, it got better in a week. And then when it comes back the second time, it spread to a wider area and it never gotten me better. So I got to a point when I was 16, 17, that I was at my edge already, that I decided, you know what, this doesn't work. Something within me just calls out, okay, some intuitive insight as a young person. It's like, this doesn't work. There's no way, you know, I want to live my life with medication. So I set off on a journey to find an answer. And I think it was the first book that I read about, you know, that the body has this natural ability to self-heal. And that was by Dr. Andrew Weil. And his book is, I think, Spontaneous Healing. And that shifted my perception about my body. And it feels like there's so much that I don't know and so much we don't know. I wasn't exposed to the idea that, you know, I can be healthy without medications, that I could be healthy just by activating the necessary things for the body and how to cultivate the right environment for my body. So ever since 17, I have been on that search by my own to discover, like, which is which.
Yeah, right. So you went on this self-discovery journey because you were sick of the medications. The medications weren't really like fixing, I guess, the root cause. Like it would kind of mask the symptoms, but then you'd still get flare-ups and you found that it really wasn't doing much for you. And so since then, what, up to this point, what have you found works for you? Or what do you now understand about your body that helps you manage this condition now?
My body needs a lot of rest. Okay. It's easily inflamed, so it doesn't really cope with stress easily. So now we understand that stress is the number one factor to most diseases, to most degenerative diseases, to most autoimmune diseases. Stress is the biggest culprit. And here's the thing, that recently I found out that stress isn't the most problematic thing, because we cannot avoid stress. And there's something that we do each day, you know, that I think is very deeply ingrained in our human conditioning, is that we want to protect ourselves. You know, we want to make sure that we don't see these symptoms. We want to fix this. We want to fix that. So there's one thing that I did in the past for a very long time is to reduce and avoid stress. And I found that that didn't really help. What I needed instead is to introduce recovery, right? Recovery practices. And here's what I've learned. I think stress plus recovery plus healing plus resting plus nurturance plus nourishing equals growth, right? And that's where that the immune system, the body can become more resilient. My mental state, my emotional state can become more resilient. And another thing that I found out is that the mind is connected to the body. Our emotions impact our body right away. And I feel it. I feel this very viscerally within myself, especially the hardest emotion that I had to deal with was anger and frustration. Mostly because I felt, first of all, that I could not rely on authorities, people that I feel that I should be trusting for answers to the struggles of the pain that I experience. So there's a lot of anger and frustration that I had to work through. So every time I realized that every time I have an anger flaring up within my emotions. I also noticed that that will be the day that my skin gets more inflamed. And it's almost as if like there's no delay between the body and the mind. Whenever I feel something, right away my body expresses it the same way. So the symptoms, this is another thing that I found out from the work of Arnold Mindel. I think he has this book called Process Mind, and it's that this premise that symptoms are the messages of the subconscious mind. Something that we have buried and removed or swept away for a temporary period of time from our consciousness. And because we buried it for such a long time, we suppress it for such a long time and repress it, that it shows up in our physical symptoms.
Yeah, like I find that so incredibly fascinating, because I recently just finished reading the book, The Body Keeps the Score, and it's basically about how mental and emotional trauma affects the mind and the body. And there is evidence and studies to show that emotions and mental trauma can manifest as physical pain. So people who have fibromyalgia, or I think they've even found that some people who have been diagnosed with autoimmune conditions, like some of the preceding events before the autoimmune condition was diagnosed, they've usually been through some sort of very traumatic event, like maybe a few months before the onset of their symptoms. And I find that really interesting that you've said that, because I definitely do see in the clinic as well. I've seen patients who have had a flare up of their rib pain or their upper back pain. And then when I asked them like, oh, what's been happening lately? What's changed? And one of the things she said was that, oh, it's Mother's Day recently and they're stuck in COVID and I haven't been able to go back and see my mom for the longest time. And so, yeah. And so I definitely do believe that there is a very strong connection of the mind and the body. And so when was the first time that you realized that, you know, how you feel and what you're in your thoughts, perhaps how that affects like your body and how your skin condition?
Yeah. Before I get to that question, I just want to share that this trauma is something that we don't really understand yet. I feel that the study of trauma is still very new, and how we work towards, you know, releasing this trauma and releasing these unprocessed emotions is still very, very new in the field. And there's so much research to be done. And I guess what I really want to say here is that there's little trauma, little T trauma, and the big T trauma. And I guess the big T trauma is what we know as the PTSD experience, right? Post-traumatic stress disorder, where we have something really, really, really traumatic, and then we go through a certain, you know, phase that we cannot function as well as we can mentally, emotionally, and physically. So the thing about trauma is that I feel when I you know, really dissect what trauma really means to me, trauma is not the experience, but trauma is how is the experience of how we perceive the event. Because we can share the experience, the same experience, but something can be very traumatic to you, but doesn't mean it's traumatic to me, and vice versa. Something can be traumatic to me, doesn't mean it's traumatic to you. So this brings up a question to me. It's like, why is that? Okay. Why is it that in this situation, in this environment, I feel traumatic and another people, they don't feel traumatic? So I just want to bring up that, you know, trauma is not the actual experience, but how you interpret the experience. And then moving on to the question about how, when did I first understood that the emotions and mental part of things play, you know, into my body. I guess when you search outside for so long, you know, I've tried so many diets. I was a raw vegan. I turned to vegan, vegetarian, paleo, pescatarian. Name all the diets, and I can definitely say that I tried them. And right now I'm on a keto diet and doing intermittent fasting, because lately it seems that every time I overdo the carbs, like more than 100 grams, 80 to 100 grams a day, and I'll start seeing like flaring ups showing up in my body. Very interesting. So like, I guess what I want to say is that when you search outwardly and when you exhausted all your search, you start to turn inward. And that's where I understand that, okay, I have to look into my emotions. I have to look into my mental state of mind. And the thing is that when you start to understand what emotions mean, what your mentality means, for me, it started off as, you know, self-help books. I think one of the first self-help books that I've read was by Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, things like that. And then I started diving a little bit more into like spirituality, meditation, Buddhist psychology. And that became something that I pursue very deeply. I think around 2014 and 2015, I moved to Boulder, Colorado in the US, went to this school called Naropa University. It's a Buddhist-inspired college and it's founded by a Tibetan Rinpoche. And it's a liberal arts school, and I pursued like contemplative psychology. What's that all about? What do you mean by contemplative, right? And started seeing that, wow, my mental state, my emotional state, I found the connection, you know, between that part of me and my physical body and my physical symptoms to be very, very, very connected. And the more I dive into it, the more I practice, I found that they cannot be separated, the body and mind.
Yeah, that sounds like an incredible journey that you've been on so far to get to where you are today. And I suppose like throughout your journey of trying to heal yourself and find ways to manage this autoimmune condition, what would you say have been your biggest learnings during the process?
I'll say that we have to come in terms with our humanity. I think one of the hardest lessons that we have to learn as, you know, in our human experience is this. We have to accept suffering. We have to accept pain, that it is part and parcel of living a human life. I think that is one of the most difficult thing for anyone to accept it. But the fact is, learning to accept it, it helps to liberate you from it, because you're not attached to a certain way of acting or behaving just to avoid pain, just to avoid suffering. And then the next thing was self-forgiveness and self-acceptance and self-love, which is sounds cliche. And you hear these phrases being thrown everywhere when it comes to like spirituality, and people talk about self-love and self-acceptance and self-forgiveness. Like, what does that really mean, right? I guess loving yourself is the first to see that, you know, you are the most important assets in life, because without you, you can't experience anything, first of all. There's no way that you can experience anything if you don't take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, your life begins with you. It starts with you. Yes, you are the center of the universe, but at the same time, it's not like you are the most important thing, right? And we share this together as a common experience in our humanity. And what I'm trying to say is that you are a center of the universe, and there are other many centers of the universe, and we are here to dance this beautiful life connection with one another. And embracing this led me into this discovery of like spirituality, mysticism. You know, I went to Peru, did ayahuasca.
How was that? How was that experience? I've heard a lot about it, and I know a couple of people who've done it. But the people say that when you do ayahuasca, you like, if you have an intention in mind, you learn lessons about yourself that you potentially don't. Yeah,
I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the truth of life, how natural laws, natural systems work. And that had always been something that I'm passionate about. And it's because I see that the human systems are broken. It's obviously broken and limited. they're not wrong. It's just limited and they're not been updated probably since, I don't know, Industrial Revolution back in the 1800s, I guess. Because our education system apparently is still gearing us towards like the factory line and, you know, getting things operated. Anyway, that's a different topic. For me, the first thing that when my first taste of ayahuasca was this, that my senses blew open. My sense of sight became sharper. My sense of hearing became louder, and senses became more sensitive to a point where I find that there's a blending between me and the outside. And I realized this is that consciousness, or the thing that we call consciousness, is not within our body. It's not within our mind, or the thing that we call our brain. I guess that's why we couldn't really find, you know, where consciousness lies, because it's everywhere. It's bigger than this body. So ayahuasca took me to a place where, okay, I see that every single thing is connected. Every human being is a part of who I am, is part of my consciousness, and vice versa. So being able to see that everything is connected makes me understand that kindness and compassion and love, you know, talking about all this again, is not an idea. It's not a concept. You know, if your sense of self is more than just you, and still, of course, honoring that you have this body, you have this mind that is kind of just within you, you naturally offer, you know, that sense of appreciation for other people, no matter how different we get. And this also transcends more than just the human species, more than our brothers and sisters, and of course, with the water that we drink, the food that we get from the soils, the trees, the bacteria that is there, you know, fermenting the ground, helping us, the bacteria that is fermenting in our gut. This microbiome, all these relational things that we have with life is essential. And that to me, I guess, is health, right? Wholeness, health that came from the understanding that being in a state of wholeness, being in a state of connection is what's created true health for us.
Yeah, I think it was so interesting how you said that, you know, in order for you to heal yourself, to get to this point in your life where you're feeling potentially one of your best throughout your life, that you had to go through the whole experience and accept the whole situation, accept yourself for who you are, accept that this is what you're given, this is your current circumstance, but how can you make the most of it? And I really, really resonate with that quote. I don't remember who said it, but it's what you resist persists.
I think that's Carl Jung.
There we go. Thanks for helping me out there. And I see it so often in the clinic, people who suffer from chronic pain or any long-term conditions like osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. It's the fact that they can't fully accept, and it's not an easy process. Like you said, it must have been very difficult to get to a point, and people do take time to get to a point where they come into full acceptance of this is my current situation, but how can I make the most of it? And it's the people that I find has truly accepted their experience and they want to make the most out of life that does the best in terms of their recovery.
There's something that is very prevalent in our society, and that is this pop the pill culture, right? Everything's based on instant gratification because that sells, right? That sells. That's the economy system that we have right now that is based on, you know, taking people's attention away from themselves, that they need these certain things in order to fulfill them. It's either the next, you know, therapy that's going to get you well. It's the next pill that's going to get you well. It's the next vaccine that's going to solve COVID-19. I don't think that it's about solving. I don't think it's about, you know, just getting rid of these things, but actually, we need to really listen intently. What is the point of all these symptoms? What is the point of all this pain? And going back to the Arnold Mindel's work and many of these people who studied consciousness, is that symptoms is the message from the subconscious. And the subconscious is not here to victimize us. The subconscious is basically this part of ourselves that is here to protect us when we cannot be aware, or where we don't have the enough skills or experience to draw from to respond adequately. So subconscious reflex kicks in, and a reflex is something that you cannot control, right? It's like touching something hot, and you have to release that hand. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's beyond the conscious control. And what we don't understand is that these things, we feel like it's taking away from happiness or fulfillment. But actually, it's not. It's actually helping us to understand that there's something beyond, more than our understanding of our current awareness. It's there to elevate us to the next best version of who we are, the things that we have not explored. And, you know, this is where I went into my rabbit hole, into my own health journey. It's that, okay, I tried, I exhausted everything on the outside. I did the next therapy, I did the next pill, I did the next diet, the next exercise, the next yoga class or something like that. And then, yeah, they worked temporarily, but they never really resolved my inability to accept pain, my inability to accept suffering, my inability to see that there's so much illness, disease, pain that's going on the outside. And I guess this is where Buddhism comes in for me, and studying how Buddhism shares that these certain noble truths, that the part and parcel of life is there so that we can harmonize with it, be at peace with it. It's not the absence of it that creates peace, but rather being able to find peace within the chaos that is going on in life.
Yeah, and I mean, I literally have just lost my thought. I mean, like, I find it so interesting, like, the fact that the subconscious mind creates these symptoms in our body to let us know what's happening. So it in itself, it tells us that the human body is so intelligent. It tells us when something's wrong so that we know to do something about it. But yet, like, you've looked externally to try and look for the answers. So you tried to look for the next best diet, the next exercise, the next thing to try and help you. But eventually what I'm hearing is that it wasn't all that truly helped you. It was more about learning to look for the answers within yourself that has really helped you come to this point in your healing process. And so my next question to you is more about, for the listeners who are listening, how would you recommend that how did you tap into your subconscious to figure out that, hey, you know, maybe there's something there that's telling me I need to do something. And that's why I'm getting these flare-ups.
Yeah, I guess to ground what I just said previously, I think, is to bring back this idea of trauma, right? So trauma also has to do with unprocessed emotions that we, you know, go through in life. We cannot, so like I said, the subconscious mind kicks in because it's for protection, right? We are unable to process the current situation. We aren't able to process the current experience. And that, you know, that experience froze in time. And that is where all the emotions that was in there froze for a later time to be processed, when you have the consciousness, when you have the life experiences to draw from, when you have the ability and the emotional intelligence to do it. So emotions shows up every day. It's unavoidable, and right? And that itself for me, a sign from the subconscious, a sign that you're reacting, you know, from a reflex point of view. And usually when emotion shows up for us, we don't feel it. We either numb ourselves, we go into addictive patterns, whether it's our phone, the ice cream, the food, the beer, or, you know, some people, the weed. We go there, you know, to soothe ourselves. And to some people, relationships, you know, and intimacy, things like that. And another thing that we do is either we fight, or freeze, right? When it comes to certain things that we don't want to feel. So instead of doing that, I guess coming into the Buddhist perspective of meditation and things like that is, can you pause? Can you just take a deep breath right now? And when you just do that, you notice that you create space between your thoughts, between your reaction of your emotions and your actions that is going to perpetuate more things, that is going to create more emotional reactions. So when you can create that gap, you're basically creating awareness. You're coming into the present moment with your consciousness. And this is when you do this, your conscious mind and your subconscious mind bridges. It comes into alignment. And the only time that you can reprogram your subconscious mind is when your conscious mind is touching the subconscious mind. You know that there's this positive psychology of intentions, of reinforcement, that you keep saying the things. If I say this long enough, it's going to happen, or I'm going to change. I guess that is some level of truth there, because to reprogram habits, behaviors, subconscious patterns, we need repetition, of course. But if we don't bridge between the conscious and subconscious mind, we're just going to perpetuate the same thing, because the subconscious mind is 90 to 98% of who we are anyway. What we are in a waking state, in a conscious state, is just 2%, right? It's very little. We have little control over how things happen with life. But here's the thing. Here's the trick. We can choose how we respond to life. How do we respond to the experience? We cannot choose how the environment controls, you know. We cannot control how the environment looks like. But we can choose how we experience it. And it starts by creating that gap, the pause, having that space. And then you can create a place where of discernment, right? Do I want to perpetuate the same addictive patterns, or is there another way out? And when you sit there long enough, just feeling it, Dr. Darren Weissman, the creator of Lifeline Technique, he said, the way to heal is to feel. So what I did in my journey of healing is a lot of feeling. a lot of accepting the grief, the pain, the rage and anger and frustration over life, over God eventually at some point. That, you know, that I have all these feelings harboring within me. And it wasn't until like the late of 2020 that I found some level of peace with my emotions, because we tend to judge it. We tend to not want to feel it. We tend to think that it's wrong to feel guilty. It's wrong to feel angry. It's wrong to, you know, to feel anything. And then some wise mentor told me before, there's no such thing as wrong emotions. It's just what is. It's just what your reaction experience of the moment is. When you can finally accept that, open that gap and see where this is coming from, I think that's when, you know, a new creative solution will show up in your mind, in your heart, as to where to go next.
Yeah, that's incredibly powerful. In this current world where we're constantly distracted, I can't tell you the number of times I forgot to text someone back because there's just on my phone, there's, you know, there's Instagram, there's WhatsApp, there's all these things just coming right in. And it's like, I have this to-do list that I set in the morning, set my intentions. And then a lot of the times it doesn't get done because there's just, you know, like I end up just scrolling endlessly through my phone. And you're right, we live in a society now where we're so distracted. In fact, like finding time to just tune into yourself is like gold these days, literally, because you have technology everywhere around you. You constantly have something to do. You have something, and you know, like we have devices that we carry around with us, which are literally like drugs, right? Like anytime we want to numb something, we just pull it out. We just scroll and scroll. Or like listening to music, we can put the earbuds in. We can just, you know, listen to music. And it's, you know, it is like I sometimes catch myself doing this as well on days where I'm not feeling my best. I'm either wanting to watch Netflix or just not deal with my emotions. And it's so easy to do. But what I've learned over the years is that like the more you do it, it doesn't go away. Your problems don't go away. You can sweep them under the rug, but you pull over the rug and it's just accumulating. And one day the dust is going to be, there's going to be so much dust under the rug, it's just going to explode. Like, okay, not that, but like, you know what I mean? It's like we can't run away from all our emotions. We can only go so far, and eventually something's going to happen and something's got to break. And I think that's when people start to look inward, right? Like I think with most people that I've spoken to who've gone into this journey of personal development, who's gone into this journey of looking inward and elevating their consciousness, a lot of people like have had something that's happened in their life that has been painful enough that has got them questioning, you know, that they have to do something different.
Totally. Gandhi has this very famous quote, and it's one of my favorite quotes, is this, "Be the change you want to see in the world." And he's all about inner transformation, inner empowerment. And then that shifts his relationship with the outside world, you know, with the outside circumstances that may seem futile, you know, at some point, oh, we can't control life. We cannot control. But there's something about this turning inward thing that is very fascinating to me and almost so powerful, because I experienced it myself. And this thing just showing up in my mind right now is this thing about purpose, right? How do you be intentional? I think being purposeful, it's all about being intentional. And being intentional, it starts from awareness. It starts from being here in the present moment, right? And the power of intention is this, is that you are actively participating in life, you know, to choose how things can be, how things should be. Maybe you're wrong, maybe you're right, but at least, you know, it is coming from a place of authenticity, of wanting to contribute. So a lot of my work has a lot to do with, okay, I want to understand the human potential. And there's something called this purpose that is residing somewhere within ourselves, this calling. You know, sometimes we call it as calling, something that is calling us to a certain way, certain things that may seem so irrational and so illogical. No. That's not something that I want to do. It's so crazy. I don't want to talk to that person. But then again, it's this funny thing is that when you actually listen to that call and accept that thing, something that you should be doing, the craziest things happen. The craziest things of life happen. The synchronicity that is just go beyond is just mind-blowing. So being conscious about, you know, where you are at, first of all, create that gap. And then secondly, okay, where does your heart leaning towards? Because purpose is not an intellectual pursuit, right? It's going to start there. It's going to be a very heady thing, but eventually it's a hard thing. It's something that is pulling you like a magnet or something. And when you just go and be curious and go discover it, I think that's where the adventure comes through.
That's incredible. And I mean, how do you feel like, so now that you're so, I know in the past, you know, few months, maybe the last 6 months, you've really stepped into this side of yourself where you've discovered your purpose, and then you started your own business, becoming a creative empowerment coach, and you have so much clarity around like what you want to do with your life. And I think a lot of people really struggle. I'm still kind of figuring it out of like, okay, what is this thing called purpose? It's this huge like buzzword that people are throwing around on the internet these days about fulfillment. Totally. All the life coaches, all the, you know, the Gary V's, the huge people, they're all talking about, you know, this word purpose, and everyone's like, what is this thing? What does it mean? Like, you know, is purpose just something that I'm really interested in and I just pour my heart into? Like, what does it feel like? And how do you know that this is your purpose, and what, yeah, and I suppose like, do you have to be conscious enough or present enough to be able to tune into your own body and that visceral sense of like, yeah, this is it. Like, how do you get there?
There's a lot to break down in this question.
Yeah, I know.
All right. First of all, I want to encourage everyone to watch this cartoon by Pixar. It's Soul, right? It's this movie called Soul, and it's basically talking about this guy, a musician, a jazz musician who's trying to make it out there, you know, in the world, you know, being, because his joy of living, his very purpose of living is to play jazz, and he wants to make it out there. And then before he made it out there, he passed and went into this worldly place called the spirit world. His soul is kind of thing, and he felt like, no, I have to go back to my body and, you know, realize this dream. I don't want to, you know, spoil too much of this movie, but I think this movie, if you really just watch it and intently, right, you'll see that the nuances of what purpose is actually in there all along. So I feel like, to break this down, there's different layers or different developmental phases of purpose. First of all, purpose is not something that is intellectualized. It's not something that, you know, I think this is it, you know, and you go do it. It's not something that you think. I think something, it's funny that we think that we are in control of our lives, but there's something wider and bigger that is governing and leading our lives. And I want to say that, you know, we are living in a living universe, that this universe has intelligence that is awake, that is conscious. All right. It's not that it's alive, that you can see that this thing is breathing, moving, and maybe it is, but it comes from a place where there's something that is moving us rather than us moving our body, that, or us moving our life or things like that. And I just want to define right now that purpose is exactly that. There's really no purpose in the sense of ideological perspective of us humans, but to just be alive and, you know, lovingly. That's it. Then again, there's this other second layer of purpose that is actually the vehicle of expression of this thing that I talked in the first phase, right? This intelligence that is governing and moving us. There's this second part, which is, okay, it's that piano that I play. It's that dance that I do. It's the thing that I write that is my purpose, or the run that I do or you do. Or some people even make their career their purpose. I'm the physiotherapist and this is my purpose, to help people heal and help people this. No, all of this is the vehicle, the expression of your purpose. It's not the actual purpose. There's only one purpose, and that's it, to live a wholesome quality life, which is true love, right? There's no other way to live in that sense. Even though through that sense, there's a million ways, a billion ways to express that. There's no one rule to express love. There's no one rule to express that intelligence of the universe, because intelligence of the universe thrive through diversity. And the reason why I said this is because I made that mistake once. Okay. I love to dance. And I found it ever since I think I was 18 or 19. And then ever since that, it was like a pursuit of becoming a professional dancer. And then for some reason, at some point in my journey, I experienced this existential crisis around dance that, wait a minute, I don't really like it anymore. I don't really love it anymore. I actually hate it. And I felt this emptiness around. I just don't want to dance. And that took me many, many, many months. And which I realized after a couple years later, which is like just last year, 2019, 2020, is that, hey, that is not my purpose, right? That is because things didn't line up for me. I had health struggles that's preventing me from actually actualizing that dream. I have, you know, circumstances that I have to deal with, things that I have to show up with, things that is beyond my control to show up with. And I used to see that as something that is going against my life, going against me. And I was so angry and frustrated. And all I did was just to go against it, swimming against the current, the river, right? The river current. So I guess to summarize all of this is that the form of your purpose will always change. The essence of your purpose is all about living your life with love.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. So basically, we're all here to just contribute back to each other, to love each other unconditionally. Actually, I'm going to take that back because we spoke about this earlier. And love in itself is unconditional, so we shouldn't have to add the word unconditional in front of love. and to just be and to, you know, to figure out what our gifts are and share that with the world, whatever that may be.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of that Pablo Picasso. He had this quote and he says that your meaning of life is to find that gift of your life. And your purpose is to give that away to people, to life, to recontribute back to life.
And that's so interesting. Now reflecting back on the whole, you know, your whole health journey and what you've been through, it kind of makes sense that you're here now because all that pain and suffering is now turning into something that, you know, it's working for you, not against you. So all the experiences that you've gone through throughout your life is now, you know, all the lessons that you've learned, all the wisdom that you've gained. Now you're in this position where you've become a coach and it seems like all of that is going to really inform how you coach moving forward and you're going to be able to really help a lot of people who are in potentially in your position where, you know, the medical system has failed them. I see this all the time, you know, sometimes in the clinic where people with chronic pain, they've gone to see a gazillion chiros, physios, osteos, they've tried everything, they tried injections and nothing seems to be really working for them. And I feel like people like yourself who've really been through managing a long-term medical condition really would have like not only the personal experience, but you know, the skills and the deep knowledge and wisdom to really help those people.
Yeah. This is what you just described is exactly the human journey. And I'm also in the process of this understanding how the human journey works. And this reminds me of Joseph Campbell's work. He's a mythologist and he came out with this idea of the hero's journey that we go through certain circumstances, a rites of passage in life. And then when we follow and we listen to it intently and what he says, follow your bliss, life shows us a different way to live our life. There's something that is bigger than what we can comprehend. And what you just mentioned about my life is definitely this thing about, you know, I'm my own hero and you are your own heroine in your life. You are the protagonist of your own life, whether you like it or not. And how do you navigate through the journey in a skillful, effortless manner within all the chaos, within all the pain and suffering? And in this perspective, the pain, the suffering, the struggles are really our true gems, right? Because it's the catalyst to bring out the best version of who we are, who we can think of, our true potential that we cannot even comprehend with our own conscious limited mind, right? And then, you know, to me right now, when I look back at this, when I re-listen to, you know, the stories that I've personally endured, it's really beautiful. Life is a beautiful journey.
Yeah. So in hindsight, looking back at all the experiences that you've been through up to this point, you know, going to all the medical appointments, seeking a gazillion different, you know, medical treatments, diets, exercise programs to try and help you manage your autoimmune condition. If you had the chance to take back all of that, you know, would you change anything in your life?
I will not change anything, but I'll send a message to my younger self.
Yeah, what would you say to your younger self?
Turn inward and practice self-love.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That stuff takes time. That stuff takes a lot of time. I think people sometimes take many, many years to accept. To truly, you can say you accept something. I think saying you accept something and really viscerally feeling like you accept something is a very different experience.
Totally, totally. But it begins with, you know, making the decision on a conscious level to say, you know what, this has to change. I am choosing to change myself. I am choosing to work on it. I think that's the whole, you know, that's the turning point. Because if you're not willing, whatever, you know, whatever tactics, whatever whatever things that you try to do, it's not going to work because you're not willing. And then it's kind of like going against yourself.
Totally, totally. It's like, I genuinely believe that the mind is so powerful that if you believe something is going to happen for you, or you can actually visualize this better version of yourself, and you genuinely believe at every, like, you know, with every single cell in your body, you believe that that will happen for you, it will. And like, you know, you can see examples in scientific literature when it comes to placebo. Like, we have, you know, we have people who undergo like sham surgery versus actual surgery, and the people who have undergone sham surgery also get the same sort of pain relief or similar effects to people who undergo actual surgery. So it actually does tell us how powerful belief is in, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to you know, activate the mind to serve our greatest purpose, our greatest like intention, it starts with the ability to actively imagine. Right? We have to drop all the circumstances that define our life and be open in a place of creation and imagination. How do you see that you would like to live your life? If you cannot imagine the circumstances beyond your current circumstances, it's likely that you cannot break through from it. It's limited, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you use visualization in your life as well? And do you feel like that has helped you through the healing journey?
So when people hear imagination, they think that it's all about the mind, okay? Actually, it's both mind and body. When you imagine, you have to activate your senses. Meaning, what do you see in your imagination? What do you feel in your imagination? What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you taste? You know, when you activate this level of activation of imagination with your body, right? Your mind doesn't linger or doesn't, you know, stay in your head, in your brain. That's not where your mind is. Your mind is your whole body, right? Every cell has a memory, every neurons, every, you know, is part of the brain connection. So activating imagination. How would you like your life to turn out the way that you want to be? And this is, you know, in coaching, what we call visioning. Okay, how do you envision your life? This is where you can play with anything. You can create anything. And that's the infinite potential of the mind. So, but it adds weight. It adds this visceral, tangible weight to your imagination when you actually imagine with your senses.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that, because I have struggled personally. I've written down, you know, I have a vision board. I have like my vision written out, and yet like my vision board is just sitting right there, like on my left hand side. And like it doesn't inspire me in the sense that like I look at it and like, yeah, I got to achieve those goals, but I think like I'm missing the whole, you know, experiencing it with all my senses, because I just look at it and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's what I want. But I don't like spend time sitting down there being like, yeah, this is what I really want, and then feeling it and breathing it and like actually viscerally feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because when you just think about it or just look at it, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Your conscious mind is not bridged to the subconscious mind. When you activate your senses, your body, you're actually bringing everything together. It's the whole embodiment of downloading the imagination or the vision into something that you can actually feel right now. That means your vision is not somewhere in the future. Your vision is right now in this present moment. And that is all about what is possible for me next in this moment. What action steps do I have to do to create that feeling? Because if you can really tap into that, right? Vision is not something in the future. It's now. It's here. But it's all about what are the possibilities that I have not considered before.
Mm.
And that's when you break through, because you start thinking outside of the box of the current circumstances that define your very life right now.
It's almost like you embody this future self that you really want to be, like, but in the present moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you create systems, you create routines, and you create habits to become that person who's going to create the outcome that you want.
Yeah. Very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful stuff. Okay, I'm just conscious about the time, and this conversation has been amazing so far. I just want to finish off the podcast with one last question. So throughout your journey of healing to come to a point where you're in your life now where you're managing your symptoms fairly well, you found something that really truly resonates with you on a visceral level. Your work is very fulfilling to you. Throughout your whole journey from, you know, a child to now, living with autoimmune disease, what are three key takeaways or three lessons that you would like the listeners to take away from this podcast?
Well, I think I've said this already in the podcast. It begins with self-love, turning inward, really reaching that care and compassion and gratitude to yourself first. And when you can do that, you can reach out to others to do the same. And second thing is that invest in who you want to be, because that when you invest in that future self, in that, like I said, the vision, right? The person that is going to actually create the outcome that you desire, the qualities, the values, the habits, the behavior. When you can invest into becoming that person, the outcome will follow who you become. Lastly, everyone is a leader, because everyone at least have to lead their own life. Every moment is made out of a moment of decision making, and it's all about leadership. And what leadership means is leading and living your life on a heart-centered. And what does heart-centered means is the guiding point is love. And I don't want to define what love is, because that is so different from person to person and the way how they interpret it. But heart center is this thing, is this feeling that you need to tune in and listen to. And it starts again with the gap, with pausing, with tapping into the present moment and feel, actually feel. Don't be so quick to numb it out. They might feel difficult. They might feel uneasy, discomfort. But the thing is that when you can actually go into your feelings and through your feelings, something different will show up. Your intelligence, your innate intelligence of knowing what's next will show up. This is the intuitive capability that we humans have. Everyone has it, and we're not using it to our highest potential. So tap into that and see how your life starts shifting, because that's how I move through and how I know and understand what choices to make to guide myself into a place of healing.
That's amazing. Very, very good takeaways. Very wise.
Thank you.
You can see that all the pain and suffering that you've been through has definitely come into fruition now. It's so incredible to see your journey, because, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, when you're in the medical system, you're being told what to do all the time, that you lose a sense of your identity.
Definitely.
You're being told by professionals about how you should take care of your body. But sometimes I think, you know, the person who's living in the body actually knows the most about their body.
Yeah, and I'll say that, you know, whatever that you take in from the outside, whether it's the professional, whether it's this new blog or this coach or this thing, it has to filter it through you. In the end, you are the one living your own life, isn't it? Of course, there's going to be a time where you don't know what to do and how to feel like, because it can be so overwhelming. I mean, we live in a world where we're information overload, right? Going on in our head, okay, which is right, which is wrong. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, I took myself as a guinea pig into everything. You have to give yourself that chance to try new things and see if it actually works. And actually give it a good try, give it a good chance. And then you'll know the right feedback, because your body has this ability to feedback right away to you, right away. To understand if this, whatever you're doing, whether it's the diet or the food or the superfood or, you know, anything that is going to help you to get where you need to go. So for me, like my heart, because I finally tapped into this, it became the best compass that I know, my intuitive compass about who to trust, who to not trust. And sometimes you have to take the leap of faith to feel the fear, you know, to listen that nuances of the heart that pulls you to a certain direction and just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, then. We'll finish off here. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It has been
incredible
talking to you. We actually spoke for like 45 minutes before we started speaking, and I feel like that could have been really solid content as well. But either way, like...
Well, we're just catching up.
A good hour of chats, and hopefully all of you find this information useful. And where can people find you on social media, or how can they reach out to you if they have any questions about this podcast, or they have any burning questions for you?
Well, you can reach out to me in my email, chiron.yang, chiron.yeng@gmail.com. And similarly, Instagram, chiron.yang, is where I post all my movement training, my coaching events. And I also share sometimes with some coaching content on that platform as well. And then, of course, there's the Facebook page as well. It's my name, Chiron Yang. I think if you want to type an ad, it's Chiron Yang Coaching. You can find me there as well. And my website is still in construction. So when that is out, I'll definitely be happy to share that with you. Oh, there's one more thing. There's the podcast.
Exactly. I was just going to say.
That's the Emerald Forest Experience podcast. It's on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. You can tune in anywhere on that platform. So check it out.
Yeah, check it out. If you're looking for a very calm, soothing voice to, you know, bridge the gap between your subconscious and conscious mind, if you're looking for a pause, now's the best time to do it. It's COVID-19. Most of you tuning in from Malaysia or the UK, you're probably being locked down. So now's the best time to really sit, pause, tune inwards, and really, you know, embracing everything that comes up in that moment and just experiencing it for what it is, not judging it, and see how that goes and how where it leads you.
And love yourself.
Love yourself, indeed. Love is a very powerful emotion that I believe heals the body as well.
Totally. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It was an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. And I just really want to thank you for taking the time to share your story, your knowledge, your wisdom that you've gained over the past few years of going through your health journey. I'm sure my listeners would have gained a lot of wisdom from our conversation today. And if you're listening, still listening, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. If you found this beneficial to you, please feel free to share it to your friends, family, and leave a rating and a review on Spotify or wherever you're listening on. That would really help spread the message of helping people feel healthier and living more purposeful lives. So until the next episode, I'll see you then. Bye.